Okay, good night, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Sadiches. We left off on Daf Sadiches Amin Aleph on the second line of the page at Hahi Itza. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honor of his wife and children, and the Zeicher Nishmas, his mother, called the Basimcha La Shalom, and the Shalom Shavan Aliyah. And we thank him for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shir. So, what we're going to talk about today is we've been talking about an almana selling the Nichse Yisomim in order to collect her Mizonos and in order to collect her Ksuba. So, first thing we're going to do is we're going to try to come to a Psak Halacha. What if she's already collected Miktsas Ksuba? Does she then lose the rights to have Mizonos because she's already collected part of her Ksuba? Or do we say, no, Miktsas Ksuba is not enough to make her lose her Mizonos? She would have to collect her entire Ksuba in order to lose her Mizonos. Then the Gemara is going to discuss when an Almana sells Karka to collect her Ksuba, does she need another Shavua after the sale? Normally when you get paid from Nichsei Yisomim, you need to take a Shavua. Does she need to take a shvua that she didn't get paid extra, that she didn't sell it for too much money, more than the value of her ksuba? And also, does in order to sell such karka, do you need hachraza for shloshim yom? Normally, when you sell nuksei yisomim, you need to take out advertisements for 30 days that you're selling the karka, so that you can get the best price for the karka. Does she need to do the same thing? So the Gemara is going to discuss that all the way until the Mishnah on Amud Aleph. And then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about if an almana, whether an almana sells karka for the wrong price, whether that sale is binding or not. What if she sells karka for too much money, too little money, in order to pay her ksuba, but she's not selling it at the proper market value? So is that considered to be a binding sale and her ksuba is paid? Or do we assume that the entire sale is batel? The Gemara then, that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of what happens if a mishaleach sends a shaliach to go buy something for him, and while the shliach is at the store, the storekeeper gives him a little extra. So who is that extra go to? Does the shliach get to keep the extra? Or does the mishaleach, whose money the shliach is using, does he get to keep the extra? So the Gemara is going to have a machlokas about that and make a chiluk between situations where the price is set and where the price is negotiable. And then the Gemara is going to discuss where the shlichus is still intact, cases where the shlichus is still intact, even though the shliach may be veered from his instructions. He was told to do X, and he did X plus Y. So do we assume that at least X is intact, or and he was just mosif on the shlichus? Or do we assume that his hosafa on the shlichus is a violation of the shlichus, and therefore the shlichus is not, where the transaction is not binding? The Gemara is going to bring a couple of rayas to discuss that situation. So let's begin again the second line of the page on Daf Sadiches Amud Aleph, Hahi Itza. So the Gemara brings a story or a situation of an almana that collects miktsas ksuba, part of her ksuba value, and now we have to paskin halacha lemaisa. Do we paskin like the chachamim? Do we paskin like Rabbi Shimon? As far as when she collects miktsas ksuba, does she lose her mizonos? There was a woman who was an almana that collected a silver goblet for her ksuba, but the silver goblet did not equal the value of the entirety of her ksuba. So katav mizone, she still asked for the yisomim to provide her with mizonos. They came to ask Rava whether they're still obligated to provide her with mizonos. After all, they had already begun to pay her ksuba. So Rava said to the Yisomim, Zilu havlu mizonos. Go and give her mizonos. Meaning you were deciding, you thought that you don't have to give her mizonos because you already gave her miktsas ksuba, and that follows Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that as soon as miktsas ksuba is paid, you don't have to give her mizonos. But lest the chash lahad Rabbi Shimon. You should know no one is choshesh for Shitas Rabbi Shimon da'amar lo amin and miktsas kesef kikol kesef. We don't pass like Rabbi Shimon who holds that the din of miktsas kesef is not like kol kesef la halacha. So long as she has not collected the entirety of her ksuba, she still deserves to have mizonos. So that closes off the discussion about miktsas ksuba. So now the Gemara moves on to a discussion about when an almana sells karka to collect her ksuba, what's the status of a shavua and what's the status of hachraza? What does that mean, Shavua and Achraza? There is a Mishnah in Meseches Gittin and Daf Lamedalid that tells us that Ein Almana Nefras Minichse Yisamim Ela B'Shavua, that whenever an Almana is going to collect from Yisamim, she's going to need to take a Shavua in Beis Din, that up until that point she had not yet collected. The Mishnah in Maseches Arachin adds on Daf Chaf Aleph Shum HaYisomim Shloshim Yom, that when Beis Din has to sell the property of Yisomim in order to pay back the Balechov of the father, they evaluate the karka by being machriz for Shloshim Yom, by announcing for 30 days that this karka is for sale. They wait for offers to come in to see what the best offer is so that they can get the maximum price for the karka. So now the Gemara discusses, when an almana sells karka of the Yisomim in order to collect her ksuba, does she need to take another shvua aside from the shvua that she hasn't yet already been paid? Does she need to take another shvua and does she require achraza of shloshim yom? So shaluch rabba breid rabba rav Yosef mocheres shalo bebezdin, if an almana sells the nichsei Yisomim in order to collect her ksuba without a bezdin of mumchin, tzricha shvua or ein tzricha shvua? Does she need to take a shvua that she did not receive more than the value of her ksuba by selling that karka, meaning maybe her ksuba was only masayim, but she sold that karka for masayim v'chamishim, maybe she got extra money, or ain't tzricha shvua? Maybe she does not need to take a shvua that she didn't get extra money for that karka. So Rav Yosef asks Rabbi Breid Rava v'tibaylach hachraza, why are you only asking me about whether she needs to take a shvua? Why don't you ask that when an almana sells shalom b'beizdin, whether she needs to do achraza for shloshim yom in advance in order to start fielding offers to see how much the karka can actually command? So Amalei, so Rabbi Breid the Rav says to Rav Yosef, hachraza lo kami baili. I dafka didn't ask you about achraza because I didn't have any suffix about achraza. Tam Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Nachman, almana. Rabbi Zera Amram Nachum taught us that an almana who's selling nichsei yisomim to collect her ksuba, to collect her mazonos, sheshama liatzma, that instead of selling karka to someone else, she decides to take the karka herself as payment of her ksuba or her mazonos, meaning she thinks to herself, I love this karka, why should I sell it to someone else for the 200 zuz that's owed to me? I'll just keep it for myself for the 200 zuz that's owed to me. Loss of lo klum. That collection does not count. And the Yisomim can say, no, we want that karka back, and we're going to give you cash in its place. So Rabbi Breid Rava says, hey chidami. Well, what exactly is the situation where she is shama la'atzma? Ida achruz. If we're talking about that she made a hachraza, and the almana announced in advance, and she was able to ascertain that this karka can command the highest price this karka can command is exactly what she's owed for her ksuba, well, am I loss of luklum? Well, then why can't she keep the karka for her ksuba? Why do we have to force her to go through a transaction and, you know, hire a lawyer or whatever, sell the karka? She already did the achraza. We know exactly what the karka is worth. It's worth exactly what her ksuba is worth. So let her keep the karka. Elalav de lo achruz. No, must be that we're talking about a case where there was no achraza. So when she decided to keep this karka as payment for her ksuba, she did her own assessment of the value of the karka. So we're choshesh that maybe that assessment was not an accurate assessment. Ula atzmahu de loss of lo klum. And that's why she's not allowed to keep it herself. But even though there was no hachraza, haliachar mashal sa'asa, she would still be allowed to sell it to somebody else and you take that those proceeds as payment for a ksuba, meaning the mecher would be chal. So it's, you see that an almana that's mecher shalom bebezdin does not require achraza. And that's why you want to know why I didn't ask any shailas about achraza. That's why I didn't ask any shailas about achraza, because I knew this halacha that if an almana didn't do achraza, she's not allowed to keep it for herself. But apparently she is allowed to sell it and use those proceeds to pay off her ksuba, right? It must be it's a case that she didn't do hachraza. So Tosfos raises the question, Dibra Maskel Elalav, that maybe Rav Nachman is talking about where she was shama la'atzma for the sake of mezonos, because in such a case she doesn't need a shvua, memela she's not going to need hachrazi either. And that's where Rav Nachman says lo asav lo klum. But maybe when she was shama la'atzma not for collecting mezonos, but for collecting her ksuba, may where she, in such a case, we're going to paskin, she needs to take a shavua for that she didn't get extra. Maybe Rav Nachman is moda that it's going to work. So the Tosla suggests that Rav Nachman is not mechalik between an almana who's shama la'atzma l'tzoruch haksuba and an almana that's shama la'atzma l'tzoruch mezonos. So that Rav Nachman disagrees with what we're going to paskin to make such a chilik between when she makes a self-assessment of the karka for her ksuba
ksuba payment versus for her mizonos payment. But anyway, this is the conversation. The Gemara raised, Rabba Bered the Rava raised the question, does she require a shavua? He was challenged back, why don't you ask a question, does she require achraza? He said, I don't have a question whether she requires achraza, because Rav Nachman had said that when she's shamali atzma, and she keeps the karka for herself, that it's law of lo klum, and that must be where there was no achraza. So you see that even when there's no achraza, while she can't keep the land for herself, the sale is binding in order to get her paid. So says Gemara, who said that it's when there was no achraza? Li'olam da'achruz. Maybe Rav Nachman was talking about a case where they did achraza, and Rav Nachman was mechadesh that afal pikein, even though she did achraza, she knows the highest price she can get for the karka, she still can't keep it for herself. The Amrilah, man shamlich, because they're going to say, who gave you the right to keep the karka for yourself? The Yisomim didn't give you the right to do that. Bezdin didn't give you the right to do that. Meaning you have to understand, when an almana sells the karka, she is working as the shaliach of the Yisomim. So if the mocher makes a shliach to be mocher an object for him, the shliach is not allowed to just keep it for himself, because the yad shliach is kiyala mocher. So it turns out that it never left the rishus of the mocher. So here also, the almana is the shliach of the Yisomim to sell these nechasim to other people. She can't keep it for herself, but if she sells the karka to somebody else, then the mechir is binding, because then she's doing her shlichus. The Chum give her rishus to sell the karka, and she and the karka then went from the rishus of mocher to the rishus of the lokeach. So the Gemara brings a similar situation where we also say man shamlach ki haidahu gavra tafkidu gabe kista diasmi. There was a situation where they gave us a pikadon a certain item kista diasmi is machlok to show them what exactly it means, but something that someone was supposed to sell on behalf of the Yisomim. The person went and he kept it for himself, and he evaluated that it's 400 zuz, and therefore he paid 400 zuz for it and kept it for himself. Ayakar kam b'shismeya. After that time, it then went up in value, and now it's worth 600 zuz. So he came to Rabbi Ami to ask, am I allowed to keep the extra 200 zuz? Meaning at the time, I could have sold it to anybody else would have given me 400 zuz. Instead of selling it to someone else, I kept it for myself for 400 zuz. And now it went up in value. So is that the extra 200 is mine? Samlei man shamlach. He said, who gave you rishus to buy it for yourself? You were supposed to. You were tasked with selling it to somebody else. You were not tasked with selling it to yourself, with keeping it for yourself. So since we reject the raya from Rav Nachman, we're still back to our original two sveikos. When an almana sells shalom bevezin, number one, does she require a shavua that when she sold the property, she didn't get extra money beyond what she was owed? And number two, does she need to do achraza in order to do the sale? So the hilchsa, tzricha shvua, veina tzricha achraza. Yes, she requires a shvua, but no, she does not require achraza of shloshim yom, as opposed to a beizdin that sells nechse yisomim, where a beizdin is going to have to do achraza of shloshim yom. Tosas and Dibra Maskel Amr Lei raises the question that we had said back on Daf Pei Zayin, that you could sell without achraza only for the sake of three things, and it doesn't mention mechira letzorach ksuba as something that you could do without achraza. So how come the Gemara over here says that for the sake of collecting her ksuba, she does not require achraza? Meaning the Gemara seemed to have given an exhaustive list of the cases where one does not require achraza, and yet it did not include a woman selling in order to collect her own ksuba. And over here, we're paskening, she does not require achraza. So Tosfos says, when Beis Din sells karkav yisomim for the sake of ksuba, that's when you need achraza, because if Beis Din were to make a mistake that's off by less than 1/6 of the mecher of the value of the karka, the mechira is going to be kayim. But an almana that sells shalom beis din, where if she would make a mistake even bedin or echad, the whole mecher would be batal. So we don't care if she sells it without achraza, because if we later discover that she was off, the whole mecher is going to be batal anyway. She's not getting away with anything. If we find out that she was off in the pricing, the whole mecher is going to be batal. Now, this general concept that when a person is made a shaliach to sell something for somebody else, whether they can become the buyer, whether they're allowed to become the buyer, has broad implications, right? Our Gemara says that Almana who evaluates the karka and decides to keep it for herself, lo asoklum, and Rashi says that that means she sells the nechasim to herself. That mechira is not binding because Beis Din or the Yisomim did not assess the nechasim. But if she sold it to other people, then the mechira is binding. The Rashba and the Ran say that the mechira is not chal li'atzma because a person is not able to be makne davar li'atzma. You can't be makne something to yourself. So if a person sends a shliach to sell an object for him, the shliach is not allowed to buy it for himself. And we paskin that way in Shulchan Aruch, based on our sugya, that if someone hires me as an agent to sell something for him, I'm not allowed to be the buyer of that item. That is a violation of the shlichus, or at least not a fulfillment of the shlichus, even if I'm paying full price. Now the Machane Ephraim discusses this case, and he writes that if the shliach gives the mishaleach money in order to buy it for himself, even though he didn't let the mishaleach know that he's buying it for himself, since the mishaleach took the money, it's he was gamar vehikne to whoever gave him the money. The das of the mocher is to be makne to whoever the owner of that money is, and therefore it's the ma'os is going to be konos. And he also writes in the name of one of the other rabbanim that if the shliach wants to be konos for himself, he should be zochal yidei acher. He should tell somebody else, a third party, to make a kinyan on these nechasim for him, and then it's going to work because he's being motziit mirushus l'rushus. But the Machane Ephraim rejects that shita because b'mekach u'memkar you need a kona and a makna. So if the shliach is b'makom the bailim, he's not able to be makna to himself because there is no kona and makna. He's being makna it just to himself. So there was a tshuva in Marash Engel where he was asked about a person that gave a woman metaltalin to sell. And the woman said that she can't find any buyer for it for more than 150 ruble. And that person was very desperate. And he was maskim to 150 ruble, to sell it for 150 ruble. Some time later, it became known that the woman had sold that object for 300 ruble. And the woman said, yeah, because she couldn't find anyone willing to buy it. But she ended up finding that her husband wanted it, and he was willing to pay double. So she sold it to her husband for 300 ruble. So where her husband found someone who was willing to pay 300 ruble. So he says that even though the Shach quotes those who hold that a shliach is able to be kona liatzmo, that's only when you don't have to be choshesh that the shliach was mata the mishaleach, when he's misleading the mishaleach. But over here you have to be choshesh that the shliach was mata the mishaleach. So then the mechir is not going to be it's not going to be binding. It's as if you're shaleach yad bipikada, meaning part of what he has to deal with is when we know you're not allowed to take it for yourself. Is selling it to your husband, is the woman selling it to her husband considered the same thing as taking it for herself, right? So sometimes you have a real estate agent that's showing a property, and he says, I wouldn't mind, I'll take this property for myself, but the seller's not interested in selling it to the real estate agent. So the real estate agent, is saying that they're an agent for somebody else, but they're really buying for themselves. So you're allowed to do such a thing. That is this sugya in the Gemara. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. So an almana sells karka of Yisomim, so she's considered to be the shaliach of the Yisomim to sell the karka. So our Mishnah discusses, what if she sells it for the wrong price? Almana she's a ksubasa masayim, she has a $200 ksuba, umachra shavamana b'masayim, and she somehow manages to sell a $100 karka for masayim. Oh, shava masayim b'mano, or she takes the $200 karka that should have paid for her entire ksuba, but she only sells it for half that price for a mana. So the halacha is niskab l'ksubasa. In either of those cases, her ksuba is already paid off. The sale is binding, and even though she only got a mana, but she took a $200 property from them. So that is the payment of her ksuba. And in the first case, she got the full money, even though it was only a $100 property. So the yisomim are in luck that they only lost the $100. Property, but that pays her whole ksuba, so we call it even. Tosfos raises the question, Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi, that discusses why when she sells shava mana b'masayim, shava masayim mana, why don't we say that it's batal ha-mekach, meaning that's a terrible ona'a, that's like a way off in terms of the value. So he says that Rabbi Yochanan gives the answer in Yerushalmi that when it's mana b'masayim, it's talking about that the value of the karka went up in value, and now it's worth double what it was prior prior to that. And when it was Masayim B'mana, we're talking about that it went down by half its value from what it was before. So there's no reason to be Machzir the Mekach, because it's not going to fix anything. It's just going to go back to what she actually charged. So at the time, it was way off in terms of the pricing. But then later, the market shifted, and now the pricing is exactly what it would have otherwise been. So anyway, so the Mishnah says another case. The ksuba is worth 100, and she sold karka that was worth a mana plus a dinar for exactly one mana. So so mechra batal. Then the mechra is batal, and the karka goes back to the yisomim, because since she sold karka that was worth a mana v'dinar for a mana, it turns out that the entire karka was mispriced, and she didn't have rishus to sell karka at the wrong price. Even if she says, I'll give back a dinar to the Yorshim, whatever I cost them, that extra dinar that I cost them, I'll pay them out of pocket. Still, the mechra is bottled because she was not doing her shlichus. That really her mechra is kayim, and she returns the dinar to the Yorshim, and then everything is fine. And how large of a karka does it have to be for the mechra to be kayim? There has to be in the karka that she sold without rishus, the karka that she went beyond what she was authorized to do, has to be large enough that it's usable if she returns that bit of karka to the yisom. So besada bas tisha kavin. If it's a grain field, it needs to be able to plant 9 kav of seeds. Ubegina, if it's a vegetable garden, bas chatzi kav, then you need to be able to plant a chatzi kav. Ukedivrei Rabbi Akiva, like Rabbi Akiva, who taught us somewhere else that the shear of a gina is ukedivrei Rabbi Akiva base rova, and if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, then it's a base rova. Meaning, how large of a piece of property does she have to is the mechra still going to be kayim if she, as long as she returns that size piece of property? It has to be a usable piece of property for the yisomim. Because otherwise, it's going to be mafsid the yisomim. In a case where even if she didn't sell the karka that was extra, if the yisomim get usable land back, it turns out that she wasn't mafsid then. So therefore, the mechra could still be kayim. So up until now, the Mishnah is talking about an almana that sells someone karka with extra karka. Now the Mishnah discusses where she sells karka to multiple different people, and only the last person got a little extra that she was not authorized to do. So I said, ksubasa arba meil zuz. Let's say her ksuba was worth 400 zuz. So machra lezeh b'mana. She takes one quarter of the karka and sells it to the person number one for $100. Ulezeh b'mana. Second quarter of the karka, sells it to another person for another $100. Mishnah doesn't mention, but third quarter of the karka, she sells to a third person for a third $100. Uliachron yafamana v'dina b'mana. And then with the last person, she throws an extra karka for the last $100. So she's selling 100 plus a dinar for 100. So then the halacha is shala achron batal. The only mekach that's batal is the last one, because that's the one that was a mistake. But vishal kula and mechron kayim. But the rest of them, the mechar is kayim, right? For the rest of them, she was selling what she was entitled to sell for the right price to collect her ksuba. It's just that the last one, she messed up. So only the last one is going to be batal. So Yom Tov discusses, you know, we clearly want to pick a case where the ksuba is worth more than 200 zuz. So why not say 300 zuz? Why do we jump straight to 400 zuz? So he says, we're trying to set up a case where there are many different mechiros that could be split up into many different manim. So he says, since we need a ksuba, a case that's more than masayim, so we dafka go to 400, because the Mishnah Daf Yud Beis tells us that the ksubas of kohanim was 400 zuz. So we want to pick a realistic case where there would actually be such a value. So that's why we dafka use the number 400. You also find Chazal in general use the number 400 as one of their go-to numbers that Chazal like to use. Very often when they speak Balashon Guzma, when they speak in exaggerated terms, they'll use the term 400, that this one wrote 400 Sefer Torah and that one planted 400 vineyards and things like that. So 400 is one of those numbers But 400 zuz is not a lashon guzma. It's not an exaggerated term. So that's what Tazi Yontif is bothered. Why would you pick 400 zuz as an amount for a ksuba? It's because we had earlier in the Masechta that's actually a normal amount for a ksuba. So anyway, the Gemara goes back to the first halacha in our Mishnah where we said that if she sells a $200 karka for $100 or a $100 karka for $200, we just call it even and her ksuba is paid. So Maishna Shav Masayim B'mana, why is it that when she sells a $200 karka for $100, halacha is we say, okay, your ksuba is paid, these, some don't have to give you anything more, even though she only received $100. So she had a ksuba worth $200. She only has $100 cash in hand right now. So Darmila Atif Sad, it must be because we tell her, it's your own fault. We gave you a $200 piece of karka to sell. No one told you to accept $100 for it. But Shavamana B'Masayim Nami Tema Anar Arvachna. So then on the flip side, if we gave her a $100 karka to sell, and she managed to get $200 out of a lokeach, why can't she say, I am an excellent businesswoman. I should get to keep that extra karka. I should be able to still be owed half of my ksuba. You only paid me karka worth $100. What I did with it is of no bearing to you. So let me keep the extra money. Sam Rav Nachman, Sam Rav Baravua, Kan Shana Rebbe. It's in the context of our Mishnah where we say that if she makes extra money on that karka, the Yisomim are the ones that benefit and not her. This is where Rebbe taught us that when someone sends a shliach to buy schora for him at a particular price, and the shliach manages to get a better price, hakol balamaos, everything goes to the person who sent the money. Meaning, even though you happen to be really good, so you'll be appointed a shliach in the future. You're probably likely to get a lot of schora as a middleman, as an agent, but you don't get to keep the extra, right? That goes to the balamos. Kidetanya, we have a brisa that says just like this, and these situations come up all the time. Hosifalo achas yisera, that if you were a shliach, you were sent to buy something for a particular price, and they threw in an extra. So who gets it? Does the shliach get it, or does the mishaleach get it? Hakol the shliach div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi omer cholkin. Rabbi Yehuda says everything goes to the shliach. Rabbi Yossi says the shliach and the mishaleach have to divide. Remember when I was a little boy in the old Zamek's bakery, my mother used to drop me off at Zamek's on Erev Yontif because the line was like out the door and you had to wait for like 3 hours. I wasn't doing anything, so she had me stand there in line with a number, and then when I got to the front of the line, I was buying a pound of cookies. So the old lady at Zamek's would put in a pound of cookies, and then she'd pinch my cheek and throw in like 5 extra cookies because I was so cute, right? So the shaila is, who owns those cookies, right? Is that, can I quickly grab those? Because is that for the shaliach, or is that for the mishaleach? So that's what the Gemara says, that hakol l'shaliach div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that I own those cookies, and Rabbi Yossi says, cholkin, that it was my mother's money, it was my parents' money, so we would have to split those extra cookies. So that's the shaila. So that's the machlokas you have over here. So frak the Gemara, really? Does Rabbi Yossi say cholkin? Vatanya Rabbi Yossi omar hakol l'balamos. Didn't we learn in a brisa that Rabbi Yossi holds that everything goes to the mishaleach? So it's a stira between the two brisas. Rabbi Yehuda says everything goes to the shliach. Rabbi Yossi, now there are two versions of Rabbi Yossi. Version number one of Rabbi Yossi is cholkin. Version number two of Rabbi Yossi is hakol l'mishaleach, hakol l'balamos. Some Rabbi Yochama look Kasha. Two versions of Rabbi Yossi are not contradicting each other. Kan b'davash yesh lo kitzba, kan b'davash ein lo kitzba. That in the brisa that says that Rabbi Yossi holds the shliach and the mishaleach have to split it, that's something that has a very set price in the market. So you know exactly how much a pound of flour costs, a pound of sugar costs, whatever it is, and you know that this person gave, that this mocher gave extra, because you know what it's supposed to cost, and therefore there's no doubt that he gave extra. So your only suffix is, who did he give extra for? Is it for the person whose money is being spent, or is it for the person who's in front of him who chose to come to this store where they could have gone to any other bakery, they could have gone to any other store, and they chose this store because the mishaleach didn't tell you which store to buy it at. The shliach chose to do that, so maybe you want to give it as a gift to the shliach, or maybe the shliach just has very pinchable cheeks, and that's why you want to give it to the shliach. Whatever reason, he wants to give it to the shliach. Whereas the brisa says that everything goes to the balamos. That's by davar shein lo kitzba. That's something that doesn't have a clear price, like something that's more negotiable, like anything that's sold in Israel, so where everything is up for negotiation, right? So in such cases, if the shliach finds it for a cheap price and he gets more schora than what was expected, then everything goes to the balam ba'os, because that is the price of the item, meaning whatever you were charged becomes the price of the item. So that's why Rabbi Yossi says hakolu balam ba'os in the second brisa, because if the whole price was negotiable to begin with, so that's what the assumption is, that that's the whatever you paid for it is the price of that item. So it turns out that in our Mishnah, the Alman is considered the shliach of the Yisomim to sell the karka. So the price of the karka is not a set price. It's something that has to be assessed. Sometimes it's cheaper, sometimes more expensive. And since we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and this is a dover she'in lo kitzpa, if the mocher gives more than what people would normally give, everything goes to the Bal HaMa'us, because the Tosefes is because of this mecher. So it turns out that when the Almana sold the karka, which is Dover Shein Lo Kitzba, and the Lokeach was willing to give 200 zuz, the Masayim is not a matana, it's a payment for the karka. That is the price of the karka. We thought the karka was only going to fetch 100 zuz. Karka turned out to fetch 200 zuz. So it all goes to the Yisomim, and that is the full payment of her ksuba. Amra Papa Hilchsa, Dover Sheyesh Lo Kitzba Cholkin, Dover Shein Lo Kitzba Kol Bal HaMa'os. The halacha is that if it's Dover Sheyesh Lo Kitzba, they have to split it. If it's Dover Shein Lo Kitzba, everything goes to the Bal HaMa'os. So Mike Kamashmalan, what's the Chiddush of Rav Papa? We already just said that. So he's telling me the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So Sismar Shinui Dishinu Shinu Yehu. He's telling us that we have the right pshat in Rabbi Yossi, that we asked the stira in Shitas Rabbi Yossi, and we were miyashim the stira, come Dover Sheyesh Lo Kitzba, come Dover Sheyesh Lo Kitzba. So Rav Papa is saying, yes, that is the correct understanding of Rabbi Yossi. A number of years ago, I had the shaila in yeshiva in DRS. There was one Talmud that was serving as an agent to buy lunch for other Talmidim from Stop, Chop, and Roll, the sushi store. So he took an order from Ruvain for a roll of sushi. He took an order from Shimon for a roll of sushi. Now, the deal is in Stop, Chop, and Roll. If you buy two rolls, you get one free. So he would order two rolls, one for Reuven, one for Shimon, and Levi, who is the agent, would keep the third roll for himself. Reuven and Shimon got wind of this after about a half a year of him doing this, and they said, he owes us like 100 rolls of sushi, that he keeps on getting free rolls of sushi with our money. So they said, this is Ksuba Staf Tzadi Ches, right? Does it go to the Shliach? Does it go to the Mishalech? So if the Safek is, the way you learn the Safek is, who did the person want to give it to? Did they want to give it to the Bal HaMa'os? Meaning, if it's a case of a davar sheyesh lo kitzba, which there certainly is, it's not a negotiable price. You don't come in and say, "I'd like a roll of sushi, but I'll only pay you $4.95 for it." Not five. It doesn't work that way. So if it's not a negotiable price, davar sheyesh lo kitzba, so we paskin that a davar sheyesh lo kitzba is something that's cholkin the shaliach and the mishalech. So why is it cholkin? If you learn that the reason that it's cholkin is because you're not really sure. Why does he want to give you that extra? Is it because he's appreciative of the business that someone's sending money to his store, or he's appreciative of you? He somehow likes the shaliach. Well, over here we are sure, because he gives it to everybody, whether they're a nasty person, a nice person, whatever. It's clearly the Bal HaMa'os that would be authorized, that would be entitled to it. The other way of looking at it is that no, maybe it's not the suffix is not maybe he likes the shaliach and wants to give it to the shaliach. The suffix is that maybe the shliach is entitled to it because the shliach chose to bring the business to this store. There are 18 other places that sell sushi also, and he could have gone to any of those places, but he went to this place. So maybe that's the suffix, in which case then it would be chalkin. Then it turns out it's machlokas mechaber rama, how to view it. And some of the kids were svarim, some were Ashkenazim, was a whole mess. So anyway, so I'm Rav Papa. So we already just said what Rav Papa said. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Yibayilu, Amrle zabin li lischa. If a person says to his friend, sell karka from some of my field, the size of a lesech, which is a half of a base core, where you could plant 15 sa of grain. Vazel is something like kura. And the shliach went and he sold karka the size of a kor. So my, so what's the din of that first lesech that he sold? Mosef al dvarvu v'lischem miyakani odilma maver al dvarvu v'lischem nami lokani. Do we assume that he did what he was told and then he did more? So whatever he was told to do to sell that original lesech, that's binding, that kinyan is binding, but the more that he did is not binding? Or do we assume that no, it was a violation of his shlichus and therefore the sale is not binding at all? So the Gemara brings a raya from a case of mi'ila. Amar Rav Yaakov minahar pekod mishmeid ravino toshima. I'll bring you a raya. We're going to have two rayas. This is raya number one. Amar balabais l'shlucho. A balabais says to a shliach, tein lehen chaticha. Do me a favor, give a piece of meat that I have la'orchin, to the guests that are coming. So he asks his shamash, his shliach, to serve the guests some meat, that everyone should get one piece of meat. V'hu omer tlushtayim. Now the shamash goes, and on his own says to each and every guest, take two pieces of meat. And then, v'hein natlu shalosh. Each of the guests took three pieces of meat. Now, it turns out that all the meat was hegdish and no one was aware of it. It was all shogig. No one knew that it was hegdish. So that's classic mi'ila. When a person gets hanah from hegdish, b'shogig, that's a violation of mi'ila. So the halach in this case is kulan ma'alu. By the way, by mi'ila, there's yesh shliach l'dvar avera. Normally, when the rule in halach is ein shliach l'dvar avera, that if I ask you to go do an avera for me, and then you do it, I'm not the avarian. The one who did it is the avarian. There's no agency in avera. But by mi'ila, there is. By mi'ila, it would still make the mishaleach the avarya, not the shliach, unless the shliach did something extra on his own. So if the shliach did exactly as he was told, and he said, take one piece of meat, so then the balabais would have been the one in violation of mi'ila. But the shliach didn't just do that. He added an extra piece of meat. That's his own doing. And then the guests didn't just do that. They took another piece of meat, and that's their own doing. And therefore, kulan ma'alu. So yeah, m'pishlama mosef al dvar avavi. If the way you understand, when a person gives extra, when they were only authorized to give X, and they gave 2x, that's considered that they did their shlichus, plus, so then mishumachi balabayis mal, then it makes sense that the balabayis is in violation of mi'ila, because the guy did his shlichus, and then he did more on top of that. Eliam mavril devar vavi, but if you assume that every time he does more on top of that, we view that as a violation of the shlichus, and he wasn't doing the agency of the balabayis, well then in our case, balabayis amai ma'al. In the case of mi'ila, why did the balabayis violate mi'ila? The shliach didn't listen to him, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. Balabayis told him to give one, he gave two. Vatanan, after all, doesn't the Mishnah tell us in Maseches Mi'ila that a shliach she'asa shlichus or balabayis ma'al, that the balabayis is only in violation of Mi'ila when the shliach did what he was supposed to do, but lo asa shlichus o shliach ma'al, that if he didn't do a shlichus, then the shliach is in violation of Mi'ila. So if that's the case, the shliach should be in violation of Mi'ila when he eats two chatichos, when he feeds two chatichos to the orchim. So that's therefore poshet our suffix that we asked. When a balabais tells a shliach, sell a lesech of my karka, and he sells a base core, which is twice the amount of karka he was supposed to sell, so I'll call upon him, the mechira should be chal on the lesech. At the very least, it should be chal on the original lesech, because that's what he was authorized to do. And whatever he was authorized to do, the sale should be binding. So the Gemara says, nah, that's not a raya. It could be that when a shliach tells a mishaleach, when a mishaleach tells a shliach to do a little bit, and then he does a lot, it could be that that's a bittul of the shlichus. It's a total violation of the shlichus. Why in the case of Mi'ila is the balabayis ma'al? Because hacham mayaskinan da'amr lehu tlu achas midaito shal balabayis. The shliach made it very clear to the people who were taking the meat that the balabayis has offered you one piece of meat. And achas midati, I'm throwing in an extra piece of meat. V'shaklinu tlas. And then they took, they're on their own, a third piece of meat. So since he told them beferish that only one piece was what he was authorized to do, by giving that first piece, he is fulfilling his tafkid of the shlichus. And that right then, the balabais is moel. When he then adds another piece, that's his own thing. But in a situation where he just doesn't let it be known that the balabais only authorized him to give one piece, and he just says, here, take two pieces, that's an abrogation of the shlichus, and therefore the balabais would not be in violation of mi'ila. So Tashma says, well, bring another raya, this time from our Mishnah. We had said in our Mishnah, that if her ksuba is worth $100 and she sold a karka worth a mana v'dinar for $100, the mecher is batel. My lab does oven shav mana v'dinar b'mana v'dinar. Aren't we talking about a case where she took a karka that was worth a mana and a dinar? She sold it for what it was worth. Umay b'mana. When the Mishnah said that she sold it for a mana, it doesn't mean that she got the wrong price for it. It means that she sold the karka that was worth a mana v'dinar in order to pay mana shalah, in order to pay the ksuba that was only worth a mana. Umaya filu, and what does it mean when it says, even if she says, I'll return the extra dinar to the yashram, of course she has to return the extra dinar. She took extra money. No, afilu hi yameris achzir sadin in the yashram bedina merkarkai. Even if she says that I'll buy from the lokech the extra karka that I sold for that extra dinar, and I'll give that back to the yisomim, and it will be as if, well, you know, I only sold the mana worth of karka for an exact mana, still it's mechra batel. So says Gemara, v'katani mechra batel. You see that it would be mechra batel when she did what she was supposed to do, plus it's mechra batel. That's not considered what she was supposed to do plus. That's considered a total violation of the shlichus. Says Gemara, nah, not a good raya. Amrav and Reidav Nassan, lo, bida ozil. Who says that that's the case in our Mishnah? The case in our Mishnah might be that she sold karka worth exactly a mana, which is exactly what she was authorized to sell, and she got a mana v'dina for it. She sold karka that was extra, that was a mana v'dina, and she only got a mana for it. For the karka. She got the wrong price for the karka. Not that she pocketed the extra dollar, but that she got the wrong price for the karka. Okay, but from that raya and that conversation will continue tomorrow on the top of Sadi Tesa Menalef. A good night, everybody.